Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the rest of Jesus. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for the presence of the Holy Spirit we felt. And Lord, yet somehow I have sensed the oppressive powers of darkness coming against this service, because I feel that there is a great breakthrough, a great revelation that you want to impart to several today. And Lord, were it within my power to do so, I would roll back the powers of darkness, because you know I want your children blessed. Father, it's not in my power to do that, though, but I know you're more than capable. And in the name of Jesus today, I take the authority given to me by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I speak to every demon spirit that would come against the child of God today to stop them from being uplifted, to prevent them from having their faith built up, to prevent them from having the breakthrough that they so desperately need. Lord, only you can do this, and I'm believing you to do it right now. As this word comes forth today, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to flow like a river. I'm asking for the living water of God to be poured deeply into each and every soul that's here. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for that which only you can do. Lord, remind us that the only real peace we're ever going to have is found in you. And we'll not fail to give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. Amen and amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Yesterday, once again, we were shocked to see that in the middle of New York City, specifically Times Square, it was discovered that once again, it would appear a terrorist attack was attempted, and that a car parked in the very busy section of Times Square where the theater district is, where there's a lot of people there on a Saturday evening. They found a vehicle that had incendiary devices in it that was planted there, and had it not been discovered, the officials tell us that once again the loss of life would have been catastrophic. We're living in fearful times. And that fear is exacerbated in those who do not know Christ as their Savior, because they have no means of obtaining the rest that their soul and spirit needs. Jesus said that one of the great signs concerning how life would be just prior to his return would be that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. We're living in that time right now. It's a very fearful time, even for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan wants to rob that peace. He wants to rob that joy. I need to say that better than that. I need to say it a lot better than that. Satan wants to attempt to get us to hand over our peace and our joy. He can't take it away. Our peace and our joy in our soul and spirit that comes exclusively from the Lord Jesus Christ via the power of His Holy Spirit. If we lose it, it's because we handed it over. Satan can't take it. But he does attempt to change the focus of our faith. Even in the smallest, and using small things and great things, he attempts to get us to change the focus of our faith. And really, in essence, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I know you know that we have to have our faith placed in the cross and Christ's work there. But I want to be a little bit more specific this morning, if I may. These words found in Matthew 11:28 are so true, and so powerful that it's something in the day and time in which we're living, the Lord impressed upon me this week, go tell my people they must do this daily. And it's simply found in that first great phrase of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. I feel that in my soul and spirit this morning. Come unto me. As I was preparing the message this week, the Lord took me back a few years to when my ministry was first beginning. And as a minister, you want more than anything else and to see God's people minister to. And if you're standing behind a pulpit for any other reason, you're wasting God's time and you're wasting the people's time. Really. That should be the only reason anybody, that first they have the call of God to do it, and if they have that desire to want to see God's people blessed and uplifted and strengthened in Him. But I remember as a young minister, the Lord showed me some things that how Satan would move upon a minister and upon the people he's ministering to in an attempt to get them to place their faith in the minister. I want you to think about what I just said for a minute. I praise God. Great ministers have built up my life, and God has used them to build up my faith in Jesus Christ. But they have only been an instrument. Only Jesus Christ can give us what we really need. And when it comes right down to it, I've always said that the preaching of the gospel, and I believe this, is one starving person telling other starving people where there's somebody giving out free sandwiches. It must be Christ as the focal point of everything we're attempting to do, because only Jesus, I learned this long ago, only Jesus can help you out. Only Jesus can provide fresh faith. Only Jesus can impart joy. Only Jesus can impart peace. Hence these words in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me. Come unto me. I am simply trying to once again reiterate this morning. Do not look to any other source in this last day other than Jesus Christ. Don't look to your church. Don't look to a minister. Don't look to a gifted individual. Keep your eyes and your focus upon Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Only Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. Only Jesus Christ has the power to help you out in whatever situation you find yourself in. And the Lord began to remind me of the danger of this thing called ministry. It's a heady thing. It really is. I've experienced the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I've been privileged. At times I know when God has given special anointings and God has used me. But that's all I've been. It's just a conduit. He's the power. He's the power. And that's why He said, come unto me. It's very, very easy. With this being fleshly beings, and we need to see people in front of us, to fall into the trap of, number one, placing our faith in an individual other than Jesus Christ, because God might be using them to help us in our walk. Let me give it to you from the pulpit side of the ministry, though. We who minister must be very, very, very careful of falling into a God complex. Because it is so beautiful, it is so wonderful to have God use you, at least to me, to help somebody else along in their walk, for Him to use you, to give them maybe a scripture, a word of knowledge, in whatever capacity He uses you, to strengthen that person. And it's Him just using you like a tool. That's it. The power belongs to Him. The glory belongs to Him. It's very, very easy, and I've seen it happen, for ministers or even people who God uses mightily to help other people out, to develop what I call a God complex. to where they fall in the trap of wanting people to trust them and to trust in their ability to help the people out, to get people's respect. That's why we must always know, and the Lord told me to stress this today, especially in the time in which we're living. This is a clarion warning, and I'm saying it as nicely as I know how. You better not put your faith in nobody but Jesus Christ. You better not be looking to somebody, and if you're ministering to somebody, you better know this. You better get out of the God complex. You better stop thinking, I'm the one, I have the ability, I can do this, I can do that. Jesus said, outside of me, you can do nothing. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and outside of me, you can do nothing. What am I telling you, Crossway? I'm telling you, I don't want you looking at this poor, pitiful pile of flesh in front of your eyes because I can't do nothing to help you out. But I know the one who can, glory to God. I know the one who can. I know the one who has all power. That's why I strive every service to get you to put your faith in Him. Because I know if you go to Jesus, you're going to get the help you need. And I don't care how great your need, how dire your circumstance, Jesus Christ is able to overcome all, glory to His name. Hallelujah. He alone. He alone. Thank God that God uses people to help us out. But you better view that individual for what they are. God's instrument and nothing more. To Him be the glory. Come unto me. That's powerful. That's powerful. Come unto me. Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now what's He talking about there? You've often heard me go into a tirade on the evils of psychology. Or on the evils of some man-made program, and it is evil. It's very evil. How so? Because those take the place of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they attempt to get you to put their faith in what they can do for you. And man's basic problem, this is the root of all man's problem. Of course, it's sin. But I want to be more specific this morning. Man's basic problem, unregenerate man, let me be more specific, unregenerate man who doesn't know God as his Savior, his basic problem is that he has a conscience. And that conscience continually reminds him, God put that conscience there. The unregenerate soul is continually reminded they're not right with God. The unregenerate soul, their conscience continually reminds them of their sin. They may not identify it as such, but it's in their life 24/7, 365. That conscience continually there telling them, you're not right with God. You're under the judgment of Almighty God. And people will not want to admit that, but that's what it is. That's man's basic problem, is that conscience that will not allow him to sin without punitive damage coming his way. It's impossible. It's impossible. You may look at some sinner, somebody that don't know God, and it may appear they may have a lot of money, they may have a lot of position and power in this life, and it may look like everything is going just fine for them. I'm here to tell you it ain't. It's a facade. Because underneath all that, that conscience is continually telling them, Almighty God's judgment is against you. His eternal burning hatred against your sin is pointed right at your soul and spirit. And the sinner carries that with him 24/7, 365. But I want to take that a little bit further this morning to the believer who has his faith in something other than Jesus Christ and is looking to some other source other than Jesus. Can experience the exact same feeling. I want you to think about what I just said. I'm talking about blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, spiritual gifted believers. Can experience that same feeling that the sinner does if their faith is not exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross. And what begins to happen to the believer, it's pitiful to see, is that in their soul and spirit, they begin to work so hard, just as the sinner does. Now let me draw a comparison here. A sinner will try to drink the guilt away. A sinner will try to drug the guilt away. A sinner will try to gain position to make that guilt go away. A sinner will try a number of inordinate relationships to try to make that guilt go away. But yet it does not, because only Jesus can deal with it. To the believer who doesn't have their faith in Jesus Christ, the very same thing occurs in a very strange way. And that individual, feeling the lack in their soul and in their spirit, they begin to work for their salvation and their standing before God. They, just like the sinner, laboring to make it go away via drugs and alcohol. And I'm talking about people that are saved. They can feel an emptiness in their soul if their faith is not exclusively in Jesus Christ and they're not going to him for everything they have need of. They'll feel that same emptiness and they'll try everything in the world to work, to do good things, to make that feeling go away. And yet it won't. It's human conscience. God designed it to operate that way. That's why Jesus said, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." I'm here to tell you, I've been there before. I've been there before on both sides of the fence. When I was a sinner, there is nothing more horrific than feeling that crushing weight of sin falling down on your soul and spirit when there's nobody else around. Irrespective, it may appear to the rest of the world, you have every blessing, you have everything you have need of. It's an uncontrollable thirst of the human soul that can't be quenched. And it's a horrible feeling. But I've been on the other side too as a Christian, of feeling like I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough because my faith was not properly where it should have been. And in essence, the state of my conscience was little better off than that of the wine who lying in the gutter. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me." Now, I'm going to try and explain something to you. You may think, "Pastor, it's an oversimplification." If it is, take it up with God, because this is what he told me to preach this morning. When that individual sees and knows Christ is their only way, and they will come exclusively unto him, something beautiful happens if they understand properly Christ and what he did at the cross. Something that so revolutionized the human conscience and the soul and the spirit of man, and that individual realizes that based on faith alone in Christ exclusively and what he did on the cross, that there is no more guilt whatsoever. Glory to God. I felt chill bumps run from the top of my head to the soles of my feet when I said that. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me," because Jesus is the only one that can provide solace to the human soul and spirit. It's only through faith in him and what he did at the cross that the Holy Spirit will come in and literally God speak. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the power of God. He will come into that individual and he will literally speak to them. "You are clean. You are no longer guilty. All charges of God against you have been wiped away. And your conscience is now been sprinkled and is totally clean." When an individual realizes that, guess what they've just walked into? Rest. Rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." All of you that are trying to find peace outside of me, whether you be my children or whether you be in the world, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Glory to God. I'll give you the peace you're looking for. my spirit will continually witness to you. It's all right. You're not guilty any longer. Jesus' blood has cleansed you and set you free. And when you get that revelation, let me tell you something. The bomb's going off in Times Square. Don't trouble your soul, because you know, as bad as we hate to see it happen, we know everything's all right between us and God. And then the human heart is relieved of fear, because fear, all fear, I don't care what kind it is, stems from the human conscience. And that conscience being afraid, it's not right with God. And that's why the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear and allows us to enter into the rest that God has prepared for us. This world has gone mad. The world goes like rats in a cage all the time. And if we as believers are not careful, we'll get caught up into the very same thing. And we'll forget where our place of rest is. Our place of rest is not in what Wall Street's doing. Our place of rest is not in our position in this life or our wealth. Our place of rest is in Christ Jesus. And we'll only find it if we come to Him. If we come to Him. You know, the old Chinese proverb I've heard so many times, I'm sure you probably have too. It says, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him to fish, you feed him for life. My job as pastor is not to make you dependent upon me, but to make you dependent upon Jesus Christ. I haven't done my job as pastor if I'm pointing you to me, if I'm pointing you to another individual, if I'm pointing you to a program. It's evil in God's sight. And I'm going to impose upon you a life of your, you'll go to heaven if your faith's in the blood of Christ for your salvation, but you're going to experience a joyless, an unpeaceful existence while you're here on planet Earth. And God has designed this great salvation for us to enjoy it, for us to be able to rest. A rest that the world doesn't have. A rest the world can't give. A rest that only Jesus Christ can give. And it is so peaceful. And some of you, I know most of you know what I'm talking about, but it's a reiteration. Because I believe maybe the Holy Spirit had me preach this, is maybe all of us are getting a little bit too concerned about what's going on out there. And we're letting it worry us, and we're letting fear creep in a little bit too much. And know this, this world is not our home, church. I'm telling you, no matter what you're facing this morning, you have a place of rest in Jesus Christ. And you need to go to Him. You need to go to Him. Thank God. God will use people to pray for us at times, and in gifts of the Spirit. When that happens, throw up your hands and thank God, and thank God for their sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. But dear brothers and sisters, what you had better not do is place your faith in that individual to where every time you have a problem, you got to call them for help. If that's going on, it's wrong, it's evil in the sight of God, your faith's in the wrong place, and God is displeased with it. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. He is the only answer. He is the only power. He is the only source by which we can enter into true rest. Don't look to anything else. If you look into your bank account, if you look into your job, if you look into your position, if you look into a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, or whatever, you won't experience rest. Your soul will never experience the rest that God has designed for you to enter into. It can only occur through exclusively coming to Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed of it. I want to teach you. That's why I preach so much about the cross. Because the cross is where the grace of God is given out. Nowhere else. There's nowhere else you can go to find grace. Nowhere else. The cross exclusively provides the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I hadn't planned to say this. I hadn't planned to go here, but I feel the Spirit prodding me to. There's only one answer to prayer any of us are ever going to need. There's only one answer. And it's not yes, and it's not no. Now, before you think I've lost my mind, stay with me a minute. There's really only one answer to prayer that any of us ever need. Paul got it. The Apostle Paul. Three times I besought the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And three times the answer came, my grace is sufficient for thee. Whew. That's the only answer to prayer any of us ever need. That's the only thing any of us ever need to know. It's not a definitive yes or no even from God. Sometimes God ain't going to let us out of certain things. He has created them, and he's going to call us to walk through them. He's in control, and we're going to think we're dying, and we're going to cry and carry on and beat the floor, put on sackcloth and ashes, throw dust in the air, and everything else in the world. But God's going to leave us right there and say, I'm going to walk with you through it, and I'm going to bring you out on the other side of it. And when I'm done, the smell of smoke ain't going to be on you. You're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to know more about me. Glory to God. But what's he telling us in that situation? My grace is sufficient for thee. Some of you need that answer this morning. You've been looking for a definitive yes or no answer, and and Satan's been trying to make you feel like the heavens are brass, God's forgot about you, your feet stink, and you're just worthless. That's not the case. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning, you've got an answer already. And that answer is the rest of Jesus Christ. And when you're resting in him, he wants you to know you're in his grace. And his grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I want you going to the cross. That's why I preach on it so much. Because I know there's going to come times in your life where you ain't going to be able to get a hold of me. And I don't mind you calling me for prayer. I welcome it. Do it. I'll pray for you. But I'm not always going to be available. I'm a human. I'm sorry. I'm a human. Much too so. But I know if you're trained that to believe right, that when your darkest hour comes, you'll go unto Jesus and you'll find rest, and his grace will be sufficient. It's what you'll find. Hallelujah. You see, if we ministers lapse into a God complex where we let our egos take us over and we want and like the idea of people coming to us, we are doing you the vilest form of spiritual abuse, because we're shifting the object of your faith off of Christ and onto us, and we can't do nothing to help you. As I said, we're just starving people telling other starving people where there's a guy giving out free sandwiches. And if we're going to survive and thrive as the people of God in this last day, we've got to know these words that Jesus spoke to us in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Two classes of people there. People that are laboring to have the salve of the Holy Spirit put on their conscience, trying to figure out a way to feel that peace of God in their soul and spirit. And it is so simply acquired. It really is. Church, this is powerful. I wish years ago somebody had taken the time to explain to me how God's peace is given out. Because I didn't understand it. I wanted it. I wanted it more than anything in the world. I'm talking about as a believer. And I knew I was saved. But I'm talking about in this life as my sanctification was being played out. Because my faith was in my works. My faith was in my human performance before God. And I never experienced a deep and abiding peace. I always felt in my soul and spirit, I'm not doing enough. I'm not good enough. I'm failing here, here, and here, and there. This is wrong, that's wrong, this is wrong. Looking at all of my human frailties and failures. And if you do that, you're going to live a miserable Christian life. You're going to be miserably saved, as Brother John Rosenstern puts it. Miserably saved. You'll go to heaven. One of the first things you'll realize is, why on earth did I carry all that junk around with me and all that weight and all that worry? But the way it happens, when we place our faith, we come to Jesus, and we place our faith exclusively in what he did for us at the cross. The Holy Spirit at that moment in time fills our life. And God will speak to our conscience via the whole infilling of the Holy Spirit and tell us the guilt is gone. Now, if you don't understand this and how it works, you're not going to be aware of what to look for. How do I have this peace, Pastor? I'm not feeling it. How do I have this rest? Because know this, what activates the grace of God? It's there. What activates it? Faith. 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 From Genesis to Revelation, God justifies, declares the sinner not guilty. He imparts his power. Everything he does on the basis of faith. Faith is the only commodity God recognizes. He does not recognize human talent or ability. He does not recognize worldly power. Faith is the commodity. Faith is the currency, if you will, in the kingdom of God, how God operates. And if your faith is not in Christ exclusively, and it's misplaced, you're not operating in God's economic system of how grace is given out. Now think of that. But the very moment you come to Jesus Christ, and you ask him, Lord Jesus, I put my faith and trust in what you did for me on the cross and for your blood to cleanse me totally from my sin. And based upon your word, not on what I'm feeling, based upon your word that says the sprinkling of your blood cleanses my conscience, I believe that I am clean right now. That based upon your word, I'm not guilty in any capacity before you. That based upon your word, I stand 100% holy and righteous in your sight because of my faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. And at that very moment in time, the Holy Spirit is the vehicle through which God gives his grace. And what happens? The Holy Spirit enters your spirit and he begins to tell you, you're not guilty. It's true. And it causes such a feeling of elation to hit the human spirit. It causes such a lightening of the load that you've been carrying, if you will. You think, man, I want to live this way. And that's what God wants. That's why he designed it that way. So that when we believe him right, wonderful things are going to happen in our soul and spirit. But if your faith is in anything other than Christ, if it's in a minister, if it's in a man, if it's in a gift, you're not going to get that feeling. Even though God may have used them mightily to help you along in your walk. I thank God for, and I'll be frank with you as I'm starting to close now. At one time, before I knew better, and some of you may even accuse me of it now, but that's okay. I don't care. I know where my faith is. I had my faith in Jimmy Swaggart. Because God used him so mightily when I was first saved in 1984. It was through viewing his telecast that I came under conviction as he would preach the word of God so powerfully. And it was ultimately with Ben Kinchlow of the 700 Club that I prayed and asked God into my life. But it was under Brother Swaggart's ministry that I grew and I heard things that as much as then I loved the Church of God. I wasn't hearing it nowhere else. They weren't teaching things like this. Things that I really had questions on. But then we all know that Brother Swaggart was shown to be all too human in the late 80s. And I'm here to tell you my faith was crushed. I really felt that when that horror that happened to him, that he allowed himself to fall into, when it happened, I thought about giving up my Christianity. That's how dangerous this is. You say, well, why? Because you know what my thinking was? I had him on such a pedestal, I thought, if he can't make it, I know I can't. Here's a man who stands on worldwide platforms and has altar calls and sees 100,000 people at a time come to Jesus Christ. Here's a man who, when he delivers the word of God, the hairs on the back of my head stand up. And he sees 40 and 50,000 people of service baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If he can't live this life, what chance do I have of living it? But here's where the grace and mercy of God comes in. If there's a shred in the human soul that says, Jesus, I want to follow you, he'll find a way to get the truth to him.
And I kept on walking with God. And sadly, in my ignorance, I wrote him off as being no good. Because I was in a human performance. And now it was revealed his performance was not very good. And I want to be frank with you here. There's not a one of us of our lives we're put on the magnifying glass, our performance would be very good, would it? But thank God in about 1992 for all the horror and shame Brother Swire had to go through. It was for a reason. Because God wanted to uniquely prepare him to bring the message of the cross back to the church. And I really don't believe in Brother Swagger to be the first one to tell you this. I sat across the table from him one time down in Baton Rouge when he told me with tears in his eyes, I did everything I knew to beat this sin that was plaguing my soul. I doubled my Bible reading efforts. I fasted more than I ever had before in my life. I prayed more than I ever had before in my life. I was doing everything I knew to do. And I wasn't getting victory, and I couldn't understand why. I hated what was going on in my heart and life. I didn't like it. I didn't want it there. But I could not overcome it. But then thank God that in the mid-90s, the Lord began to simply open up to him. Nothing new. Nothing new. It didn't come from Brother Swaggart. But there in the middle of the Word of God in the book of Romans, he read those great words, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who live after the Spirit and not after the flesh, glory to God. And the Holy Spirit opened up to him what was there all along. It's by faith. By faith our victory comes. By faith our victory comes. To reiterate again, in God's economy, it's faith. It's faith. It's the only thing God will operate on. Hear what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Only faith. Only faith. But when that faith is right, when that faith is placed exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross, how mightily the Holy Spirit will move in your life. His grace is sufficient for you this morning. His grace is sufficient for you. You may think your life is crumbling. His grace is sufficient. He's going to take you through it. But don't look to anybody else but him. Don't make Crossway Community Church the object of your faith. Don't make me, don't make anybody in this church the object of your faith. It's Christ. Come unto me, he said. Come unto me. How could Daniel sleep in the lion's den? And I believe he did. I really do. The Bible doesn't specifically say that. But I believe that night in the lion's den when Daniel was thrown there. Excuse my conjecture, if you will, but I believe it with all of my heart. I believe he laid down his head in the midst of those hungry lions who had been starved for days for the mere purpose of when they threw somebody in those dens that the lions would immediately pounce on them and tear them to bits. That he laid down his head that night in that lion's den and probably had the best sleep, night of sleep he's ever had in his life. Glory to God. That's God's grace. That's God's grace. And what the Holy Spirit wants you to know as we go to this altar call, God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. That ought to make us shout right there. Because you know what that's telling you and I? He's saying, what I've done for Daniel, I'll do for you. What I did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'll do for you. What I've done throughout the ages, I'll do for you today, glory to God. But it's all predicated upon one truth. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you your rest. Notice he doesn't promise immediate deliverance out of the situation, but he promises rest in it. That will enable you, his enabling grace, that will enable a human being to face the blackest, darkest, most evil of circumstances. and have rest in their soul. Come unto me. That's your answer, church. Two things before we go to the altar call. Come to him. Come to him this morning. Your hope's not in anything else but Jesus Christ, and he is more than sufficient. Come to him. Number two, the answer you need, the answer you're seeking him for this morning, you already have. His grace is sufficient for you. I want to say that again. His grace is sufficient for you. In his grace, with it comes his care, his love, his nurturing, his presence, his wisdom, his power. It's all there. His rest, his peace that passes all understanding. When you may think everything around you is crumbling, he's there. He's there. And I feel with all of my heart the Holy Spirit had me preach this today. This one thought in mind, come to him. Come to him this morning. His grace is sufficient. Would you please stand? Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, we stand in your presence today, Lord. We're your children. And Lord, first of all, we repent of placing our faith in anyone or anything other than you. It's a beautiful song, Austin. Keep playing it. Amazing Grace. Oh, God. I sense the Holy Ghost moving so powerfully right now. For some of you, you needed to be reminded of what we preached on this morning, even though you already knew it. You needed the reminder. Others need to repent because you've been going somewhere other than Jesus. You've been looking to an individual. You've been looking to what, anything else. I don't care what it is. It's Jesus alone. It's Jesus alone. It's Jesus alone. But the good news is, put your faith back in him, and his grace will instantly appear. He won't chide you. He won't scold you. Put your faith back in him exclusively. His grace will instantly reappear. That rest and that peace that you feel like you've been missing, it'll instantly come back as the Holy Spirit begins to remind you, it's all right. Jesus, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I feel maybe not everybody needs to do this, but I believe some of you do. You may be feeling like your life is in total defeat today. But I'm here to tell you this. The Holy Ghost wants you to know this. If your faith is exclusively in Christ and what he did at the cross, there can be no defeat in you. I'm asking you to not to look at your physical circumstance. If you do that, yeah, there's probably defeat all around. But there's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus this morning. That's why I said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Do that this morning. Place your faith exclusively in him and experience the victory for you he's already won. Even in the circumstance that has you so weighed down right now and has your mind so bedraggled and befuddled that you're thinking, how on earth could it ever get straightened out? Jesus can unscramble scrambled eggs. Jesus knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows the number of grains of sand that are on every beach in this world. He can do anything. And by faith today, the Holy Spirit is asking you to reach out and know your victory is here because his grace is sufficient. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just right where you stand this morning, those of you that need to do that, walk and believe for the victory that's already yours. Reach out by faith now and pull it in. Don't look at your circumstance. They may not change for a long time. I wish I could tell you something different. Your circumstance that has you so worried right now in the natural realm, it may not go away, but His grace is sufficient. And your victory in Him, or your faith in Him guarantees your victory is going to come. He's going to walk you out of it. There's going to be a sunny day again. There's going to come an end to what you're facing. And today, by faith, reach out and claim the victory that He won for you. But come exclusively unto Him. Come exclusively unto Him as you do it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, it is so easy for us as humans, thank You that You understand that, to shift our faith and to make a mess of things and to lose our peace and to lose our joy, willingly hand it over by placing our faith in something other than You. But Lord, I am praying today that the Holy Spirit will give this revelation to everyone in this sanctuary. That just as quickly as we lost it, it comes back when we put our faith again right. Oh, glory to Your name, Lord Jesus. Some of you are experiencing it right now, joy and peace like you haven't felt in a long time. Your situation isn't changing. You're experiencing the grace of God. You're experiencing the grace of God. The Holy Spirit is telling you right now, it's going to be all right. I'm going to bring you through it. Keep your faith in Me. I'll sustain you. I'll empower you. And your victory is here today. You may not see the manifestation of it for a ways down the road yet, but you will if you keep your faith in Jesus. It'll come. It'll come. It'll come. Just as sure as you're standing. Oh, believe Him big right now. He's a big God. He's a big God. And don't walk out of here today, look at your situation again and think, well, that was just emotional, what happened back there in church. Preacher just got us hyped up. If you'll live this way, you'll experience a peace and a joy and a victory like you've never known. I'm not talking about just doing this on Sunday morning. I am trying to teach us all. I think the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us all, this is how we live as Christians, every single day. Praise God. Lord, do a work in us right now. We need it so. Let this be a life-changing service for all of us, Lord, to where we quit looking at our current situation and we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we come to Him. Every day when we're feeling defeated, we come to You, Jesus. And know in You there's victory. Irrespective of what our natural situation looks like. And Lord, with the knowledge of that victory comes Your peace, Your joy. I'm just giving, the Holy Spirit's just telling me, wait. He's doing His mighty work in hearts and lives right now. I want to give Him full latitude till He's done. Some of you are experiencing Holy Ghost grace and power right now like you haven't in a long time. Your soul's doing flip-flops because you feel Him telling you, I'm here and I'm with you. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, teach our minds, renew our minds with the power of Your Spirit to live this way every day of our life. When we start thinking about the defeat of our natural situation, train our minds, Holy Ghost, to turn to the victory we have in Christ. Teach us to think right, Lord, and we'll have Your peace in every situation. We'll have Your joy. And our conscience will be totally clean and clear, knowing that as our faith rests exclusively in Your shed blood, everything's all right. Because of that hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Praise God. But we love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, play it, Austin. That's beautiful. So we'll cling to the old rugged cross. Praise God. Till our trophies at last we lay down. We will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I pray you've been touched, uplifted, challenged somewhat today to come up a little bit in Christ and to let the Holy Ghost renew your mind. Because, church, without His grace operative in our lives, even a child of God can lose their mind. If we place our faith in the wrong thing. A while back, I was talking with a gentleman, and he told me I almost lost my mind as a Christian. But he said, I finally realized if I put my faith in Christ, he'd hold me together, and he did. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. Only Jesus can do for us what we really need. Only Jesus. He may use others to assist in the process, but they're just instruments. It's ultimately Jesus. It's ultimately Jesus. Let's give Him another hand of praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Paul, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? Thank you so much. This Wednesday night, we're going to be